John chapter 4, verse 29. Jesus must needs go to Samaria, and he went there because there was one woman. Now you think about it. The God of creation, the great God of heaven, was concerned about one woman. As he's concerned about us as individuals today, each and every individual, he has a great deal of concern for each one. We want to think he's concerned for all of humanity, but he's concerned for all of humanity individually. And so as he was there, he went there in order for that woman to come to know who he was and to receive the salvation of her soul that he had for her. And in verse 29 of John 4, he says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" This was an invitation from a newborn babe, one who had just gotten into Christ, who, like all other new converts, wanted to show and wanted to go and share share their Savior and his joy to others, and to those especially that she knew that needed him desperately as their Savior. She knew exactly where to go. She knew who needed Jesus and how much they needed him. For she had been with them in their sins and knew what it meant to be lost. You see, to know what it means to be lost, to fully understand it, you got to be saved. You got to have that difference made, that change that only Jesus Christ can bring about. And when you do, then you'll understand truly what it means to be lost. And brethren, listen, we are living in a day when God's people have come to a point to where they've given up. We have given up on the lost because it's been so long since we were lost that we have forgotten what it was like to be lost. Forgotten what it was like. And so our concern for the lost is not as much as it should be. Jesus went out of his way in order to reach this one woman so that she might be saved. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. What a message. What a message. You know what? He told me all things that ever I did. And I'm persuaded he told you all things that ever you did. Because when his conviction, it brings that stuff out to us. Doubtless the people knew of fortune tellers and others, but they had never seen one who knew everything that a person did. Never seen one like Jesus. Come see a man. Well, what do we see in him ourselves? The woman saw in him the Christ, the anointed one, the consecrated one, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. She saw in him that promised one. In John 1, 41 and 42, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And we see that Andrew saw in him the Messiah, the promised one, the elected one, the sacred one. He saw in him the deliverer of the people of God. the deliverer of those that are lost, the deliverer and hope of all mankind. Philip saw in him one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. In John 1, 45 and 46, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. Philip knew who he was. He understood who he was. And Philip wanted others to know and to understand, especially of his own household. And so he come, and he was fortunate and blessed because he not only could tell them, but he said, now come and see for yourself. Come and find him yourself. Here he is. But then again, we can get people to come where he's at, and they can find him and see the evidence themselves. For he promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm present in their midst. Now, brethren, he's present here tonight. He's in our midst because I say so, someone else read it, but no, because he said so in his word. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, that's by his authority, church capacity, I'm in the midst. So you see, these brethren didn't have anything on us. Not at all. Because when one comes in, the Spirit of God in his office work is comforted of the church, opens a man's heart and understanding, and it deepens the conviction. That's why some get offended and upset and go out and don't ever come back, especially religious people. But the lost sinner, it makes him realize and understand the condition he's in, and that there's one there to help him as the word is preached and Jesus is revealed. Philip saw in him the one whom Moses and the prophets did write. Peter saw in him the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ, the Son of the living God. In John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, wrong verse. John 6, 69 is what I want. John 6 and 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter saw him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. To see him as the Son of the living God, he must see him as God the Son. Understand and recognize that he's God who came in the flesh, born of a virgin, the only born or begotten Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the sacrificial lamb who would pay the penalty for the sins of man. He saw in him the Christ. Look at Judges 13 and verse number 8. Then Manoah entered the, and Noah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that is born. Talking about Jesus. Then in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Listen. In Judges, we had prophecy of the one that was to be born, the child that was to be born. Moses and the prophets' testimony of it. And then in Isaiah 9 here, it brings it out clearly concerning that one who is to be born. Born to be the sacrifice, born to pay the penalty of man's sins. Peter saw in him the Son of the Living God. Look at Matthew 16, 15 through 17. Matthew 16, 15 through 17. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now again, how did that Spirit reveal it unto him? The work of the Holy Spirit? In his office work in the church. Now, folks, I've had people say, what good is it just to invite people to church? I'm here to tell you, if you bring them to church, you bring them in the presence of the Lord, and I mean to tell you that the Lord will work on their heart in a way that he will not work on them outside of that. You know, we have almost lost and moved away from the Holy Spirit to empowered preaching. We've almost moved away from the Holy Spirit moving and working in our midst. We've almost forgotten that in that special office work of his, when we come together, he's present in person here through the Holy Spirit, and that it has an effect on lost sinners when we bring them in. Invite people to come to church. It'll make a difference in their life. If nothing else, it'll implant the word, and they'll never forget that word. Come see a man that told me everything that I ever did. Come see a man who is the Son of the living God. John the Baptist saw him as that precious Lamb of God. In John 1, and 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, Jesus Christ. Who is he? There was nothing made without him that was made. He was the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. He created you and me personally in the womb. I've had objections to that, but let me tell you, it's not objectionable. They say, well, you mean to tell me that he makes people that have birth defects? No, sin. He creates them in the womb, and sin brings it into fact. As a matter of fact, you stop and think about it, the argument is for abortion is that they're a fetus and not a person. Brother, at conception, they're a person because that person began to shape, and it's a very short time as he shapes that individual in the womb. It's a very short time before it's a boy or a girl. I can tell. You can see it. But we're so callous, brethren. And I get mad at myself. We're so callous And this kind of stuff of killing babies in the womb, and especially at election time, man, I'll tell you, we got to protect a woman's right to let the doctor kill her baby in the womb. And some of them kill the baby after they come out of the womb. God is the giver and the taker of life. Man has no right to do it. I'm not going to get political either. But listen, we need to see Jesus. And we need to bring people to where they can see him. We need to bring them to where he can make a difference. Now, I understand that in the world we're living in today, there are some that have a reprobate mind. You're not going to do much for them. But at least you've delivered your soul from being accountable for theirs. And we need to be concerned about that as well. John the Baptist saw him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin, that's a sin offering for us, who knew no sin. Jesus is the one who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Notice that. That we, through him, may be made the righteousness of God in him. One who has no righteousness. You can pound on your chest all you want to, and you can pull it out, and you can say, I'm a born-again child of God, I'm a Christian, and I'm better than this poor sinner's. Wait a minute. None better than the other. None better than the other. And if we have any righteousness, it's not of our own, it's of Jesus Christ. His righteousness, not ours. John saw him as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. 1 John 3, verse number 5. Or rather, 1 John 3, yes, and verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. We have a fellow by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 2. He saw him as a teacher come from God. John 3 and 2, the same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. You ever witness to somebody, set forth the Bible, scripture, and they said, I never saw that like that before. Never heard of that. That's totally foreign. And mostly religious people who react that way. And yet, they're ignorant. They don't know who or understand who Jesus is. Teacher, come from God. By the way, he's still teaching. It's right here. He's still teaching through his New Testament churches. He's still teaching because they're upholding the pillar and ground of the truth. This is Jesus teaching. Man's teaching is worthless. That's why I keep saying to these young men, preach the word. Preach the word. Get off of this I, me, and mine. Get off of this storytelling and get on to preaching the word. Because it is the words of Jesus. And we're supposed to be a teacher of it. a teacher that's of God. In Mark 7, in verse number 26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. The Syrophoenician saw him as a great physician, a healer, one who could raise her daughter to her health once again. The centurion in Luke 23 in verse 47. Now when the centurion saw that what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. He saw a righteous man. Wait a minute. He was not one who was striving to be righteous. He was not one who was living to be righteous. He was not one who was seeking to be righteousness. He was not one that was practicing righteousness. He was righteous. And there's only one that's righteous, and that's Jesus Christ, the only man that ever lived that was righteous. Because he knew no sin. Then, in Luke 23, or rather John 19, verses 25 through 27 says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by him whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Mary, his mother, saw him as a concerned son, concerned about and for his mother. Then in Revelation 19 and verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John saw him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings, and he shall be the King of Kings for all of eternity. And then in Revelation 1, the Bible says that he made his church members kings and priests forever and ever. What does that tell us? It tells us we're going to be with him. We're going to be at his side. We're going to be like him. We're going to be joint heirs with Jesus of his riches and glory, the Bible says. If so be that we suffer with him. Not only heirs of God, but joint heirs with Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him. Who is Jesus to you tonight? He's all these things that we've considered that these individuals have seen in him. But he's even more. Because he's Almighty God. The creator of all things. The sustainer of all things. He's the one who loved us so much that he suffered, bled, died, was buried, and rose again for our justification. And by the way, that suffering, greater than any man has ever suffered, as much as any man will suffer in hell. And listen, the greatest agony, the only time that Jesus cried out, was when he was separated from the Father on that cross. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was in agony. All of the physical abuse and brutal beatings that he received, he responded not. But he responded when him and the Father were separated. The greatest suffering in hell for the lost individual that goes there is going to be being separated eternally forevermore from the God who created them and loved them so much. Too late. they're going to realize, like the rich man in Luke 16. He said, if you will send Lazarus back, my brothers will repent. He knew it took repentance and faith in Jesus to be saved. But he didn't acknowledge it until it was too late. He acknowledged it there in eternity, knowing that he was separated. Who's Jesus to you? How do we get better acquainted with him? Oh, these are they which testify of him. These are they which testify of him. Read, yes, but no, don't just read. Study. No, don't just study. Search. Don't just study and search. Rightly divide. And then, Psalms 1, meditate. You know what meditate is? It means you think about it and mull it over in your mind. Go over and over again. And you compare this scripture that you read with this other scripture over here. And I'll tell you what, you'll have one scripture reveal another scripture, give you greater understanding. What understanding are you going to get from here about Jesus? If you want to be closer, get in here. I've told you about a cousin of mine that got really deathly sick, was in the hospital for a week. Got a Gideon Bible out of the drawer of the cabinet in the hospital, started reading it. By the end of that week, she was rejoicing in the Lord. And I mean, she was a rank lost sinner that did about everything she's big enough to do. But that week in the scripture changed her. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to know more, you want to be closer, get in there. If you want to get further away, just ignore it. It's a way to do it. It's up to you. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord, your Savior, it's up to you. You can come, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him, or you can continue the way you're going. Your choice. God doesn't want anyone forced to do anything for him. He wants them to do it voluntarily and wants them to get to a place where they can do it because they really, truly love the Lord. What should we sing? As we sing this hymn, why don't you come? Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. As we look to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Brother Spencer, would you conclude our service, please?